Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Jimmy Haslam's comments from the NFL owners meetings, where he says he's, you know, certain, maybe not certain, it's not the right word, but he believes he's got the right people in place in Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. We kind of reacted to that part of it. I just, I don't know why the word perplexing. Like, Jimmy referred to the 2024 season and going from 11-6 last year to, as of right now, 3-10. He referred to it as perplexing. And maybe it's because we don't have the audio. For some reason, that just feels like the undersell of the century.
Oh, you wanted more.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think perplexing is the right word. I like infuriating better than perplexing.
Yeah, Jimmy, I mean, he hardly leads the league in great answers. But if somebody were to ask me, like, what do you think about this last season? And they wanted, like, a quick response. You know, sometimes, like, after you do this five-hour show and you've talked Browns all day, someone will try to bring up Browns if you're going out to a dinner or something like that. And you're like, I'm going to give you, like, the 15-second answer because you didn't listen all 5 hours today. I get that, but I don't want to give you 3 minutes. I think perplexing would be a good answer.
So here's the thing. Maybe there's something about it that, like, I feel like they should know. And again, I'm now going very into the weeds with one specific word. But perplexing, if you call it perplexing, the inference is you don't know what went wrong.
He doesn't, though.
Yeah, that's wild. That's wild. Because one, you could literally start anywhere with why this team has not worked out.
But you can't boil it. I mean, listen, he's not going to boil it down and just say Deshaun Watson. I think that would be the leader in the clubhouse if we're talking about what you would say if you had 15 seconds.
Yeah, I'd also say it's an oversimplification, but sure.
Right. That's why it's a hard, like, hey, let me give you 15 seconds or give you one word to describe this season. All right, well, what's your one word to describe the Browns season?
I'll go back on infuriating.
Infuriating.
Yeah, it's so funny. I know Jimmy's trying to, hey, I don't want to be emotional about this in the season. If I was spending, because it's not, I mean, it's not just about the money that he spends on the salary cap. They've spent so much money to move money around just to give Deshaun the best chance to succeed this year. So hypothetically, Deshaun didn't even have to be great. He'd just walk in, just be good enough, and the rest of the team would take care of him, and neither Deshaun nor the rest of the team matched up.
Yeah, I mean, you've led the league in spending in the previous 2 years, and that's with Deshaun, by the way, not being the number one most expensive quarterback either.
So you'd stick with perplexing, by the way?
I like perplexing as an answer. I know it's not going to make a lot of people happy, but yeah, this season, the expectations, I think you got to take yourself back to what the expectations were and how many people thought this was a deep postseason team and everything attached to it. Am I angry? Yes. Am I infuriated? Yes. All those things do work, but perplexing is, yeah, when I think about seasons I personally just got flat out wrong, by the time we started this and got this thing underway, and I think a lot of people listening can own up to this as well, this one's going to be at the top of the docket for years to come. So many people were 10, 11, 12, 13 win seasons for this, or 13 win season for this Browns team, and it's been such an utterworldly disaster. Yeah, perplexing is a good answer.
So what's interesting about that is, like to me, like 8 and 9 would have been perplexing. 7 and 10 would have been perplexing. Because that's honestly, like when we talked about it, that's what I thought was the floor of the team, was like an 8 and 9 team.
I mean, it's pretty wild, Nick. How do you go from 11 wins last year to now 3 wins and you're not even close to competitive when you're trying?
And why is no
when you're
one
trying?
And why is no one else acting like that's a big thing? Like, I think there's, okay, to use the Seinfeld bit, there's so much yada, yada, yada going on with 3 and 10. Like, guys, like,
or yada, yada, probably like, the most important part.
Like, it's a lost season. Like, no. We're not waving our magic wand and just being like, well, I guess that didn't happen.
Yeah.
I guess it's just one bad season. It's not a bad season. It is a catastrophic season. And again, I'm not saying that automatically leads to fire everyone. That's not, but my point is, you have to admit there's a problem before you can address the problem. And when we hear people outside of Cleveland go, yeah, it's a bad year, but they'll be back next year. What evidence? What teams do you see winning 3 games and you go, next year they'll be back in the thick of it?
Yeah,
how we treat 3-win teams in the NFL.
It's not, and I don't know many people that really do believe that it's going to be some massive bounce back, although we did have Albert yesterday kind of hint at such a thing, right?
I mean, even Mike Mayock was like, yeah, just find the quarterback. Guys, this is not just a quarterback situation.
As if it's so easy, too, though, on top of it, to just find the quarterback. But I think it's I know fans understand this, so I'm not going to try to be like, I don't think people understand. But it really is hard to just win 3 games, Nick, when you're trying to win 3 games. We can talk about the rebuilds and other teams going through stretches where they got to tear it down to the studs. They got to get rid of cap space, do these other things. It is so incredibly hard. If I told you before the season, Nick, you could spend more money than any other team in the entire league, go win games, and you'd run a million simulations, you wouldn't be able to get to 3 wins.
But yeah, I'd made the point earlier that a lot of the national analysis on sports in general is just a lot of groupthink. And I don't know if that's it seems like there are just certain narratives. Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry are great at what they do.
Yeah.
All right, well, what about their drafting? They just haven't. Like, every time you have a legitimate concern, there's some wave of the wand. Oh, that's not a real. No, that's a real question that every organization asks themselves. But on the local level, and we made the case of listening to people nationally talk about the Steelers and listening to 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, and the local analysis is so much more interesting because they're following it step by step. I do think, like people who just expect this thing to bounce back because Deshaun goes away, I think that's because people don't like Deshaun. They don't like what Deshaun was accused of. They don't like how Deshaun... Here's the thing. It's not just that. Deshaun forced his way out of a situation where he was making good money. I mean, there was already contempt before Deshaun Watson. And what people looked at as an NBA-type move before the allegations came out. How dare... That's not what a franchise quarterback does. There are so many... Now, they don't like him because he's the first guaranteed contract. There are so many levels to why people don't like Deshaun. And it's wild how many people are willing just to chalk this all up to Deshaun's an abject failure and a disaster, and it's all Jimmy Haslam's fault. It's like, if that's what you expect, they're going to win 6 games top next year. If that's as simple as it is, if that you're just going to simplify it down to that, you're not going to fix this thing on any serious level.
But that's why I like Jimmy Haslam's answer, Nick. When he says perplexing, it is open to the idea that it is beyond just it was all Deshaun Watson's fault.
Okay, I can see your point.
Like, think about it. Like, why I like that term as well, why I like the idea of perplexing, is because I understand the way you understand. There's so many things that went wrong this year. I can't just pinpoint and say one of them. I can't just pinpoint and say it is Deshaun and he's the reason why. And if he's gone, everything's going to be back to great. He's got to do an actual get down to the nitty gritty, find out, was it the offensive line? Was it just injuries? What coach? What all these other things that go into making a team great. And he's got to individually pinpoint what parts worked and what parts didn't. And it's not just a simple fix. As you always say, right? It's not just a Diet Coke fix. Right? Like that's I think that's the realization.
Stolen
that,
from Ralphie May.
I think
legend.
That's the realization that he had, though. That's
so,
it.
Can I actually point to that, though? But what's interesting about that is, because again, Jimmy's whole ethos was, I'm not going to rush to an emotional decision in season, which again, we debated earlier. And we kind of actually see kind of the same way. From my set of things, it makes sense to let everybody think that that's the case because everybody thinks that that's what you're going to do is just make the emotional decision. I digress, though. But what's weird about this is, do you really need 4 more games to diagnose? Because no, I think that's where the perplexing thing is for me.
Well, I wonder if he's already started to do some of the autopsy of it, right? And so he started to go through this, and that's where he's putting together the same way we've been talking about every single day. Like, oh yeah, this wasn't just on Deshaun. There's a lot of layers to how you go from being spending as much money, the money faucet turned on, spending everything, and ending up with essentially a 3-win season.
And so it was okay. I actually will tell you something I find perplexing in Jimmy's analysis of the situation. It's the fact in the same breath that one of the things he's quoted at is saying that he doesn't think the Browns will have to dig into a full rebuild. And that's another thing. Like, that to me is more perplexing than just 3-10. Now, 3-10, I think we can point to 7 reasons why they're 3-10, and I can label them in a really nice font. I can really get it sexy for you.
Please do.
I just don't know how today, because I can't say it. I look at this team, I watch this team, and I go, I don't definitively know. This is a wave the wand, and next, I keep going to the wave the wand thing in the segment. I'm sorry.
We played the first 3 times.
It did. This time, I don't think it did. I'm self-conscious about the damn wand.
That's okay.
But I don't know how anyone can say right now today with full certainty that this team, that this isn't going to be a full rebuild. Meaning, like to me, when you say it's not a full rebuild, that means next year you expect to be competitive again.
I don't look at it that way. I think a full rebuild to him is that's what you did with Hugh Jackson where you did, it was multiple years.
But isn't that a tank?
That's what I think he's trying to describe. In saying full rebuild, I think he's describing a tank. Yeah, but I think he listened to what Andrew Berry had to say, and I don't know if that came from...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I know it came from Barry, but was that Dee Podesta's thoughts? Who actually knows? When Andrew Barry's like, it's not a five-year thing. This isn't Major League Baseball. You don't have to stink for half a decade.
Well, okay.
And I think Jimmy's buying into that logic.
It's interesting to that because there are, within everything, the tanking is the obvious, the excess, the extreme of one side. Within the idea of a full rebuild to me is not tanking. That is something different, and very few organizations actually do that. To me, a full rebuild is we'll be competitive again 3 years from now, meaning this is year one, next year's year two, and on the other side, 2026 is when you're going to be competitive again. I think that's more, by when I say competitive, I'm saying like competitive at 500. I think that's where this roster is. And I think
don't have Jimmy to ask him what the difference between tank and full rebuild.
But I think sometimes, and I'm not saying you, but I think sometimes the syntax of rebuild is just apply it as like a general thing. A full rebuild, like, okay, do you have enough talent in one offseason? To me, a partial rebuild is in one offseason. Can you get everything you need to? And there are so many things with this roster that need improved.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it in one offseason. Whether it's a quarterback, the D-line, the O-line, whether you want to rebuild the safety room, another wide receiver, a running back.
I don't know that Jimmy has those answers either. You know, I just think he's like, I hired the people that should have those answers.
216-474-0092. Jimmy Haslam calls the 2024 season perplexing, or the regression from 2023 to 2024. He also says the Browns will avoid a full-blown rebuild. Are you expecting a full-blown rebuild, or do you think this is a retool? More on that and the Deshaun part of Jimmy Haslam's answers next on 92.3 The Fan. Deshaun Watson, and in fairness, Ken followed up with, well, what if they do the post-June 1 designation, which would, I still think the cap would be like $119 million, which is what Mary Kay had to say. I think it's really interesting how everyone can agree in the media generally that they love Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry.
Yeah.
No one seems to be able to agree what the hell the Browns are going to do with Deshaun Watson.
I think we're getting there, though. Not us. I mean, we're talking to national people. I think we're getting there when it comes to Deshaun. It's just whether or not the Browns are going to get there.
Well, yeah. So when I say that, I don't mean it like an accusation, but like we had Mike Mayock, and he's like, yeah, I wouldn't want the guy in the building next year.
Yeah.
And Mary Kay's bringing up the cap side of things. Now, I think you can. I don't remember how to do this. I'm not a salary cap expert. I think you can find a way to restructure the contract one more time to stretch it across 3 years.
Right.
But, like, it's just interesting. Like, I don't know how the Browns can do this deal with Deshaun in a way that is going to please the most amount of people next year. Like, a lot of the times in these situations, very easy. Hey, Jets. Move on from Aaron Rodgers. You're going to make a lot of Jets fans very happy.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look how Mike Tomlin handled that quarterback kerfuffle with Fields and Russell Wilson. It's played itself out.
Well, they had to win in order for it to play itself out.
Well, yeah, but with Deshaun, if he's back here under the guise of, well, we're just going to let him get healthy, but these other two guys, that's the real quarterback room, you have people furious.
I mean, I think, honestly, the answer you don't want to hear, but the truth and the right answer is you got to do what the Broncos did. You got to be able to eat a lot of the money and then move on, but then you also have to hit on a quarterback basically instantly. And they did. Bo Nix has worked out really well for Sean Payton. But that's so much easier said than done, and that's why we're kind of stuck.
And so we played the Mary Kay sound because Jimmy Haslam in the NFL winter meetings, the NFL owners meetings, was also asked about the outlook at the quarterback position. Haslam said it's too early to make any decisions. Quote, unquote, we need to get through the season and we will look at everything. I just don't know. I think this goes back to the conversation you and I had yesterday, which was where Bill Simmons and Cousin Sal on the Bill Simmons podcast unanimously agreed the Browns have the bleakest outlook of any team in the NFL, and it is just tied specifically to Deshaun. And I also think, here's the other half of that, by the way, just to kind of throw this in there. One of the other things that I'm not wildly crazy about drafting a quarterback this year is I also don't think they're in a position to help that quarterback be the best version of themselves. So it's like, all right, I don't love any of these quarterbacks, and I think you have to if you're going to take them with a top 10 pick. And the other half is, man, are we gonna just get these guys' asses kicked? Like,
if you like Stefanski, though, then I don't know why you'd believe that.
Because I think the things that help a good, not great rookie quarterback, when I say good prospect succeed, are a great offensive line, a really great defense. And you do have one thing, which is Jerry Jeudy.
But historically, these quarterbacks don't enter. That's part of the problem with the NFL draft, is that if you're drafting in the top 10, you're putting the quarterback in a spot that is not going to have a great situation to live in. Like, hell, even like they made the argument last offseason, every national pundit made the argument that Caleb Williams was entering the best situation a rookie quarterback has ever entered the NFL with. And look how that's gone. You know, there's a reason why you drafted that part of the draft. You're a problematic team more times than not.
Gary in the Heights, what's up? Welcome to the show, buddy.
What's up, Gary?
How are we doing? Nick, I got to understand why you're self-proclaiming yourself to be Santa Claus and then not understanding that Santa Claus isn't an elf.
I mean, is he called a right jolly old elf in "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," my friend?
I mean, he was. Doesn't mean he's an elf.
I mean, so he's referred to as an elf, but he's not an elf.
In one poem.
The best poem, the most important poem in the history of Christmas.
What's the origin? The origin of Santa Claus is Saint Nicholas, right, Gary?
Yep.
Saint Nicholas was a bishop. Now all of a sudden, the bishop's an elf.
Yeah, it's outrageous. It's an outrageous take.
I mean, I think you're being outrageous about the head elf in charge, Gary.
All right, before I get kicked off the show, let's talk about Deshaun Watson. I think in the last 2 years, I've only seen one good half of football from him, and that was the second half of that Baltimore Ravens comeback game. I think he is absolutely the problem. I think what we need to do is we need to front load all of his contract money next year, get him off our team next year, draft Genty, and then we just run Genty next year with, you know, whatever we can put together and start rebuilding from there.
Oh, wow, we got a Gentite on the phone.
A Gentite, real Gentite.
I mean, no wonder you don't believe Santa's a damn elf.
Oh, stop it.
I mean, Gentites are not known to be supportive of the elf community.
The Gentites are the smartest people out there, is what I've been told, Gary.
He told himself that. Gary, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you very much.
Wow, Gary. Wow.
Gentite and a Santa elf denier.
I told you the convo was coming. The Gentites are coming.
Gentites
are coming.
If Santa's the head elf in charge, you're the head Gentite in charge, and I think you've wished this upon us. Real quick here, let's go Adrian and Akron. We got about 30 seconds, buddy. What you got for us?
Hey guys, I think it's hard to not look at the organization and say do a hard reset. We got to bite the bullet on Deshaun's contract, and we got to ride out for 2 years. I think we look to draft an O lineman. Any quarterback, there's no quarterback in this draft, like you said, we'd be able to put in a position to win. I mean, if you draft like Cam Ward, the whole nonchalant era of being able to be behind a pocket and sit and make his reads, he's not going to be able to do that with the O-line. So I think drafting the O-lineman and figuring out if our coach is the right coach, if that's the situation, because if we get a new coach, we got to figure out what direction he wants to go in. So,
Adrian, real quick, buddy, is Santa an elf?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, Adrian, everything you just said, you discredited.
Thank you, Adrian.
I mean, lost all credibility.
How about that?
In a 3 second answer.
How about that?
Real ones, no.
Real ones, no.
216-474-0092. Is a full rebuild necessary for your Cleveland Browns? We've got plenty to get to in the 6 o'clock hour, including who's in the wrong on 92.3 The Fan.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.